You know, the other day I heard someone say, and I don't know whether it's true or not, maybe some of you have heard, that it used to be that Coach Vince Lombardi, football coach, right? I don't know about this kind of stuff. What he would do is he would, at the beginning of every season, he would gather his players together, veterans, rookies, either way, the professional football players who have been playing the game all their life, and he would, what he would do is he would take a football and he would hold it up and show it to them and say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And he would go on to explain that if they were going to win, if the team was going to be victorious, if the team was going to be consistent, it had to focus and concentrate on and not forget the basics, the fundamentals. And for you and for me as Christians, there's a great truth in that. Because there is a temptation to get kind of higher and higher and higher in our knowledge and in our understanding and maybe in our ranks and in the company that we keep or in any number of different areas, and before you realize that you're not actually growing, you're just becoming inflated. There's two different ways to get higher, you know. Sometimes for some folks it's too late. So, we are here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 10 again. We'll pick it up there to start us off. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into a synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." So the Bereans, we all know the Bereans. Everybody, churches, Bible-believing folks tend to know or have some idea of who the Bereans are. And that's among grace people and not grace people. You see, you know, plug in the word Berean into, Google that word, and there's no telling what kind of thing you might come up with. And it's understandable because the book says that these were more noble. So anytime you're more noble than somebody, well, that's got to be a good thing. These got to be people that you want to emulate. You know, that word noble there, describing the Bereans, is an interesting word. It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And if you skip down to verse 12 from there, "therefore many of them believed." Now, come with me, hold your hand here and just get a couple of books over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, because I want to show you something. That word noble, you know anybody named Eugene? That's the word in the Greek. The Eugene means noble. And eugenics, Perry probably know how to say that better than me, but the idea, the genes are involved. It's got to do with your birth, your lineage, where your pedigree. And these folks here, when the Bible talks about nobility, and when we think about nobility, we think about royalty. And the kings and the sons of kings and so forth. Well, these guys here, they weren't that. Then you think about, well, they were Jews in the synagogue there, so their lineage, their line, they came from good stock, good genes, right? Well, a lot of those Jewish folks there didn't bear that out, did they? In fact, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 26, He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." So Paul says, not too many, you look at your calling, and not too many wise, not too many mighty, not too many noble are called. The key phrase there being, in the flesh, after the flesh. So the nobility, back in Acts chapter 17, if you would, the nobility of these folks doesn't come from their lineage, because they're Jews in the synagogue there. The nobility, you say, well, we're noble because we're all Bereans, right? Hopefully we, when you say, by the way, if you don't know, I mean, you know, for most of us, this is all old information. That's why I say to you, stay with the basics and don't be afraid to come back to the ground every now and then. But the Bereans, when we talk about being Bereans, this verse, Acts 17, verse 11, is what we're talking about. These Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So that description of these people, God says that their nobility comes from, not from their lineage. You and I, we can claim the title of Berean, and I hope you identify with these folks. I hope that you receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things are so, because that's what we mean when we identify with them. We can say, well, we are of noble lineage since we came to Christ. Doesn't matter who my father was or his father before him. We'll trace that all the way back to Adam. I mean, that's, you know, as noble or ignoble as you want to make it. But the fact of the matter is that we're children of God. So that's noble, right? That's nobility. But these guys, they weren't yet. Paul hadn't come and given them the gospel yet. They were noble in that they received it, they listened to it, and searched the Scriptures. See, their nobility, their roots, their lineage, what these folks had here in Berea, these Jews devout Greeks in this synagogue that the Thessalonians, for the most part, in the synagogue, didn't have, was they had somebody. Somebody in that synagogue was telling them, look, the Word of God is the issue. The Bible is the issue. Whatever you hear, whatever someone says to you, whatever you think, whatever you might come up with, whatever preaching, whatever message you hear, you filter it through the Scripture. Somebody told these folks that. Somebody put that in their mind. Now, they didn't tell them about Jesus Christ. They didn't tell them the Messiah was going to come and die for them and rise again. They didn't tell them any of this stuff that Paul came in here and told them. But they heard it and they believed it because somewhere in their root, somewhere at the foundation, someone told these folks the Word of God is the issue. And if you hear something that doesn't jibe with the Word of God, you throw it out. And if you hear something that doesn't mesh with what you already believe, but it fits the Word of God, then throw out what you believe. And take the Scripture. Somebody told these folks that. Somebody gave them the basics. And somebody gave them those roots of nobility in God's eyes. Now, why were, you know, I say that to you out of personal experience as well as the passage and all of these passages in the scriptures. I learned the Bible under different, you know, contexts and different doctrinal systems than the way I understand it right now. And, you know, praise God, than the way most of you all understand it as we share in the mutual faith, both of you and me, where we stand today. I learned all kind of bad things about the Bible to start off with. And I came through some error and some things that needed to be purged, that needed to be yanked, that needed to be plucked up like weeds out of my life. But here's what I had. I had teachers that were teaching me sincerely from their heart this wrong stuff, but underneath it all, they taught me that the Word of God is the issue. And that foundation, that basic fundamental upon which everything else was built, delivered me from all the stuff that was built on it. So, when we talk about the basics and getting back to the fundamentals, let's not lose sight. Let's not lose sight of the nobility of God, how He defines nobility. The Bereans, here's what they did. Verse 11 again. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, I got to tell you, myself, I identify with this name Berean in different ways, in different contexts of my Christian life and so forth. I have organizations and that bear that name that I identify with. And I have to tell you that by now, 30 some odd years into this for me, more for some of you, less for some of you, there's a lot of stuff that I reject kind of, you know, pretty much out of hand. Because you hear a lot of stuff. And that's okay, because most of the stuff you've heard before. Hopefully, the first time you heard it, you said, wow, I've never heard that before. Does it match the scripture? Or did the first time you heard it, did you just say, well, that's not what we believe, and dismiss it out of hand? You know, being a Berean doesn't mean coming to a place where you believe what we believe. This is, you know, all Berean roads lead to the hub, who is us. Being a Berean means that if you hear something that you haven't heard before, you've got that filter that it gets pushed through and squeezed through and pressed through to see if it'll stand the test. And if you hear a tenth of what's out there, then nine-tenths of what you hear won't pass that test, because there's a lot of garbage out there. But it all must be tested. If you want to be a Berean, you must receive the word with all readiness of mind. Don't dismiss things out of hand. Come back to the beginning of the chapter, if you would. Acts chapter 17, in Thessalonica, the Bereans are compared to the Thessalonians. They're more noble than they were. Well, why? Well, Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Paul and company, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Same thing he did over in Berea later on. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, and some of them believed, consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And then the Jews that believed not got envious and started the persecution there. So what you've got in Thessalonica before Paul comes to Berea is you've got a synagogue of religious Jews who know what they know and believe what they believe, and they've heard it all, and they don't need some guy coming in here telling them something new that they never heard before, believed before. If what you're saying is true, then how come that's not what we believe? Listen, we can get that way, you and me, us Bereans. We started out hearing new things and going, wow, I never heard that before. And we opened our Bibles and lo and behold, it was true. Paul had a distinctive ministry. The body of Christ was not Israel. The rapture is not the revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ that we know today is not the Christ of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We heard all of that and it was outrageous. And we opened the Bible and it was there. And it was true. And we took it and we received it and we believed it because it was there and it was true. But listen, are you done now? Have you learned everything there is to know? Are we right on everything? Don't get stuck in the Thessalonian trap. Now, those multitude of Gentiles that came out of there, they ended up being a pretty nice little church there for the service that they did. But those Jews, those unbelievers there, they were stuck. They had been in their, they were approving the things that are excellent, Paul says. They were instructed out of the law. They knew, they were guides of the blind. They knew how to lead people. They knew what the truth was. They didn't need to listen to Paul. So on the one hand, you have these Thessalonian Jews, they're kind of stuck in their ways. They know it all, you know, yada yada. I know you don't know anybody like that. I know a person or two. So in wonderful and fresh and exhilarating contrast to that comes these Bereans, who received the word. Not only did they receive the word, but they received the word with all readiness of mind. They don't assume that this apostle Paul is coming in here to take over their synagogue or to come and make their lives miserable with some kind of horrible thing. If he is, they'll find out because they have a standard and they have a test. But they don't assume that. They say, okay, this guy seems to believe what he's saying, seems to be a reasonable, you know, guy. Let's open our Bible and see if what he's saying matches. And lo and behold, it did. Listen, they reacted the same way you did when you found out that what Paul has to say and what the people that you've heard say about Paul's ministry had to say, and you opened your Bible and you saw it. That's how they saw it, and they reacted, but they got saved. So it says, as a result, many, verse 12, many of them believed, as opposed to some of them, Thessalonians back in verse 4. So, receiving the word with all readiness of mind, when that word is true, is going to tend toward a good outcome. You're going to believe. And if the word is true, that's what you want to do. You want to believe. Now, at the same time, come back, hold your hand here if you would, and come back with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Let's get a verse there. Proverbs, just after Psalms. Chapter 14. You know, when you remember the basics, you may not, to bring our illustration back, you may not, every play may not work out for you, every game you may not win, every battle, every scrimmage, every strategy may not work for you every time. But here's what you're going to get. You're going to get consistent victory. When you remember the basics and you don't get too far, you don't let yourself drift from the basics, you're going to get consistent victory. Maybe not 100% of the time, but you're moving toward the championship if you can stick to the basics. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 15. One verse, as most of Proverbs comes out to be. One at a time, right? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now that's a verse to remember there. You don't want to believe everything that somebody comes along and tells you, and especially because, hey, I've never heard that before. That sounds pretty good. Start going over there like smelling an apple pie, right? You just start floating all over towards it. Your mind just leaves you. Solomon says the simple believe every word. See, that's not what we're not the noble. There's a big difference between the simple and the noble. The Bereans didn't believe the word with all readiness of mind. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Paul tells the Thessalonians, he says, despise not prophesyings. This is exactly what we're talking about. Somebody comes along with a view from the scripture, something that you hadn't considered before, don't dismiss it. Don't despise it. Despise not prophesyings, and then the next verse is prove all things. So you despise not prophesyings. Don't dismiss it out of hand. You prove it. You prove it by the standard, by the word of God, and then, he says, hold fast that which is good. You take the meat, you spit out the bones. And the difference between the two is this book, and whether what you're hearing matches. So that's what these folks are doing here. They're not being simple. They received the word. They were ready to receive it. They weren't anti-something I never heard before, which, you know, in the end means I know everything. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they, on the one hand, they were not resistant to new truth. On the other hand, they weren't just like these people coming up. Look in verse, if you would, verse 16. Paul has to flee again from Berea because these guys back from Thessalonica are chasing him. You know, the Apostle Paul, what he's doing here, he's kind of getting the taste of what he did before, isn't he? He pursued these Christians from town to town, from city to city, trying to kill them, and all of a sudden now the hunter has become the hunted here, and he's suffering that same persecution of his own flesh, of his own brethren, the Jews. So they're pursuing him. So he has to flee again. And verse 16, Acts chapter 17, verse 16, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' And others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" Apparently there was some misunderstanding there in the original, they tell me. I don't read the original. But Jesus is masculine there, and resurrection is feminine. And these folks, these Epicureans and Stoics, the philosophers, they thought that Paul was bringing them kind of the usual fare of male, female, deity kind of a situation, and they thought, "Oh, okay, you know, let's see what this guy's got to say." Some other people call him a babbler. By the way, you know what? As we're going through this, Paul is getting kicked around and persecuted and chased. You know, they had to send him out by night out of Thessalonica. He has to flee from there because they want to kill him, and he comes into Berea, escaping into Berea from persecution. And what does he do? He goes into the synagogue and he says, "Hey, guess what? Jesus Christ is your Messiah," and he starts it all over again. And he gets kicked out of that town, and he goes to the next one, and he goes into the synagogue, and he does it again. They stoned him, dragged him out of the city, and when he woke up, he shook himself off, and he went back in. He said, "Hey, guess what? Jesus is your Savior." That's basic. That's fundamental. The Epicureans, the Stoics, they're willing to give him a hearing. And after all, it says, verse 20, "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears." This new, verse 19, I skipped over. Verse 19, "And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus," pretty prestigious place there, "saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine is, whereof thou speakest? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all..." Now watch. Why? Now, they're receiving them like the Bereans did, right? But the reason, "For all the Athenians and the strangers that were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Now, what you've got here is you've got in Acts chapter 17, on the one side, you've got these religious Thessalonian Jews who know it all. They're stuck in their own ways. They don't want to hear anything that they don't already believe, and they certainly don't want to hear it from somebody who's not one of their group. And they're just fixed, and they get angry when someone comes in and tries to tell them something different. So you don't get much action there. Not a whole lot of spiritual activity going on. Then on the other side, you've got these Athenians who, they don't do anything else but sit around wanting to tell or hear some new thing. So you guys, these guys don't want to hear anything. These guys, that's all they want, is to hear something new. What that means is that, listen, what that means is that nothing is true. That's what that means. If you want to hear something new all the time, what that means is that the last thing you heard, you're ready to dump. You're ready to do away with. That means that nothing is true. If that's the attitude of these folks here, what is truth? What is truth? That's what Pilate said. Listen, you know, Paul says, if you're a Christian, let your moderation be known to all men. You know, one of my mentors used to say all the time, you know, Dave, chances are when you're in a controversy like many that I've been in, the truth is somewhere in the middle. And that makes sense, right? Because, you know, there are people, I mean, if people are fighting and or if two ideas are conflicting, the chances are that there may be some motivation there for being extreme on both sides. The truth is in the middle. That's why we're mid-Acts, right? The truth is in the middle. You don't want to be Acts 2, you don't want to be Acts 28. So you compromise. No, you look at the verses, and the verses tell you it's in the middle of the book of Acts, and that's what you take. You run it through the Scripture. But here's the thing. You don't want to be stubborn. You don't want to be flitty. You want to be a Berean. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Do you search the Scriptures, and do you search the Scriptures daily? Do you do that from what you hear here? You don't come here and think that guaranteed, absolutely, everything I hear walking in here is going to be 100% right, and I can take it to the grave, take it to the bank. You don't come in here thinking that, do you? We come here because we have a mutual faith, and we know, and we study, and we keep each other honest, and we grow in the truth, and so forth. But you filter what you hear through the Word of God, don't you? Don't ever come to the place where you think that one man or one organization or one group of people has got everything right and everything that there is to be had. Otherwise, there's no point for the rest of us being here. We're all here to put each other through this press. Not only in our doctrine, but in our behavior and in our attitudes and in our minds and in the things that we see in one another. We're all here to iron sharpening iron. Putting each other through the filter. You hear something that I say that you think that the Scripture's got something else to say about it? Let's talk about it, because I don't want to be wrong. I hope you don't either. That's nobility. That's nobility. That's something down in the spiritual genes. That's fundamental. That's solid. Paul talks about in the last days of the church the apostasy that's supposed to come. And can I say to you, and Pastor talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the apostasy started before Paul died. They all turned away from Paul before he ever passed it on to the next generation. And we've been living in perilous times for the last 2,000 years. And Paul says that over the course of those perilous times, people are going to move away. People are going to fall away. People are going to depart. People that think they stand need to take heed lest they fall. Paul tells Timothy to take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, for in doing this you'll both save thyself and them that hear thee. The way you get moved away is by losing sight of the fundamentals, the basics. We've got a book. We've got a book that's true. We've got a book that's reliable, that we can depend on. That book tells us that the Apostle Paul is the apostle for the Gentiles and for this dispensation. Those are basic. Those are fundamental. Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. That's basic. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. That's basic. He's coming again one day, and He's going to catch us up before the tribulation period comes on this world. That's basic. And you and I are going to be a part of a new heaven and a new earth when this thing has passed away. That's basic. Now that's some pretty glorious basic, but that's basic. We don't want to get so knowledgeable that we find ourselves floating above the foundation. The foundation is for our feet to be touched, to be in contact with. That's where our stability is. Don't forget the basics. The Bereans, they had the basics. They had the humility to understand that they didn't know everything, and the faith to understand where all knowledge could be found. And they used both of those things to lead them from where they were to being God's nobility by holding on to the basics. So I come to you this morning preaching Acts chapter 17 and about the Bereans and the messages that we've heard time and time and time again, because it's basic and because it's what we need. I'm done. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the simplicity that is in Christ. And I pray that we would not be beguiled as the serpent beguiled Eve, and that our hearts would not be removed from that simplicity, but that we would understand that the power of our lives is in those basic things, that we would rejoice in them, that we would hold fast to them. And Lord, keep us from that departure that Your word warns against. Lord, we pray that You would do it by keeping our eyes on the fundamentals. In our Savior's name we do pray. Amen.